In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Brothers and sisters, we heard in today's gospel reading about how the Lord raised up a girl who had died, and how he had healed a woman who had an issue of the flow of blood for numerous years with just the touch of his garment. These miracles witness to Jesus as the Christ, but also Jesus as the Son of God, as God incarnate. Now, these miracles followed up upon last Sunday's gospel reading, where the Lord cast out a legion of demons. And what happened right before that in the Gospel of St. Luke is he was on the stormy sea with his disciples, and he rebuked the wind and the storm and the waves, and everything became calm. In a matter of some hours, the Lord performs all of these wonders that show him as the Messiah and as God. In fact, we see him as the one who has power over death. He has power over sickness. He has power over the demons. And he has power over creation itself. These four things illustrate the lordship of Jesus Christ. When we think about this power of Christ and what he's able to do, he's able to overcome sickness and death, demons, this fallen world. He's able to do all of these things. What more could we possibly ask him to do for us? Think about that question. Nature, the demons, sickness and death are all overcome. What more could we ask? What more work does he have to do to accomplish? I want to share with you something from a sermon on this very gospel by St. Nikolai Vilimirovich. He's one of our contemporary saints who has written many beautiful things. If you could get your hands on anything of St. Nikolai, read it. If you got your hands on his grocery list, it would be edifying. Anything that this man has written will be instructive. Here's what he says. When the sun's rays touch a rock, the rock begins to shine. When a flame touches an unlit candle, it begins to burn. When a magnet touches a metal object, the object becomes magnetized. When an electric wire touches an ordinary wire, they both become electrified. He says all these physical phenomena are only an image or a parable of spiritual things. These physical things are an image of spiritual things. If you think about the power of Christ, when he comes into this world, he makes it whole, he restores it by his touch, by his presence. I want to ask one of the children a question. Do we volunteer to answer this question? Anyone? You want to hear the question first? Okay. Okay. On a scale of difficulty, 1 to 10, 10 being the most difficult, how difficult would it be to raise the dead by simply touching someone, or to heal them by them touching your garment, or to command the winds and the sea to become calm, or to cast out demons? Scale of 1 to 10. I'll tell you the answer. It's infinity. Infinity. It's extremely difficult. St. Nikolai says, just as difficult as it is for us to do these things, it's that easy for Christ to do them. So on the scale of 1 to 10, how difficult is it for Christ? Negative infinity. It is exceedingly easy because he's God. This is what he does because this is who he is. Just being in the presence of Christ and touching him changes everything. In the gospel, we saw that this woman who had the flow of blood, she said, if I could just get close and just touch his garment, I'll be made well. And she was. Christ then raises this dead girl, taking her by the hand and lifting her up and saying, little girl, arise. She's resurrected. This is why the crowds thronged upon him. They pressed upon him. Wherever he went, the crowds were there. Because this virtue and this power went forth from him to heal and to restore. Remember that man who was paralyzed? That they had to get up onto the roof and let him down? It was because of the crowds. Zacchaeus, why did he climb the tree? Because he couldn't see because of the crowds. St. Mark, in his gospel, he says, Jesus asked his disciples, when he was teaching, to have a boat ready for him, so that the crowd would not crush him. For he had healed so many that all who had diseases were pressing forward to touch him. What desire these people had for healing, and what faith in Christ to accomplish it. Desire and faith. We see that in the woman in today's gospel reading. We see that in this Jairus, whose daughter had died. Desire for restoration and faith that Christ could accomplish it. Of course, that's why we're here as well. That's why we press ourselves into the church, crowding around the Lord, because we're desirous for this restoration and we have faith that Christ can do it. And when we come close to him, we touch him. And he grants us this grace. Think about the sacraments. Seven sacraments is usually the number we use. Baptism, chrismation, Holy Communion, marriage, priesthood, unction, and confession. Is there any one of those sacraments in which we're not physically touched? No. Every single sacrament that we receive, we're touched. Baptism, we're immersed in water. Chrism is put on our body. In Holy Communion, of course, we receive the body and blood of Christ into ourselves. We taste and we see how good the Lord is. In marriage, we have the rings put on our fingers, the crowns on our heads. We drink from the common cup. When someone is ordained to the priesthood, they're brought into the altar and the bishop lays their hands upon them. Unction, we receive the anointing of holy oil. And confession, the stole is put on our head. A sign of God's love is taking us under his wings, our return to the Father's embrace. All of these sacraments have to do with physical touch that communicates to us spiritual realities. Remember what St. Nikolai said? The physical world is simply an image of what's happening spiritually. And again, that's why we're here, to receive those gifts of Christ. But returning to that question, what more could we possibly ask from the one who has power over nature, demons, sickness, and death? What more could we ask? How about healing from our sin? How about the restoration, not of nature, not of dealing with demons, but the restoration of humanity? That is ultimately why we come here. Deliverance from the passions, from our vices. We come here with pride and we ask the Lord to give us humility. In place of our lust, we seek his chastity. Instead of our gluttony, we would like to receive a little self-control. Instead of our greed, we ask for generosity. Instead of our stubbornness, obedience. Instead of all of the corruption of sin, the immortality of God's righteousness. That is what we ask. And that is the greater gift than all of those other things. It's precisely that, the restoration of the human being to godliness, that shows that Christ is God. That is the greatest of the miracles, the greatest sign of his lordship. And when we receive these sacraments, we ask the Lord to accomplish just that. I'll read to you a short section from one of the post-communion prayers, which we say at the end of every divine liturgy. Enter into my members, my veins, my heart. Consume the thorns of my transgressions. Cleanse my soul and sanctify my reasonings. Make firm my knees and body. Illumine my five senses. Nail me to the fear of thee. Always protect, guard, and keep me from soul-destroying words and deeds. Cleanse me, purify me, and adorn me. Give me understanding and illumination. Show me to be a temple of thy one spirit, and not the home of many sins. May every evil thing, every carnal passion, flee from me as from a fire, as I become thy tabernacle through communion. God comes, and we not only touch him, but he enters within us in Holy Communion. And we become sanctified. We become his vessels. People who receive his grace, and as we heard in the epistle, are commissioned to do his works. And I want to share one thing from my youth with you before we close looking at the epistle. When I was young, we used to play this game. It was really just tag, but we called it manhunt. Because tag is for boys, manhunt is for men. And some of my friends would live, they lived very close, kind of adjacent properties to where I grew up, which was on church property. It was decent-sized grounds. There's a VFW next to us, and we kind of had this large area that we would play this manhunt. We would divide into teams, and the way manhunt goes is you have to tag somebody on the other team without them tagging you, but you had a home base. Each person had a home base, and when you were on home base, you couldn't be tagged. And we would go out and we'd play this game. We'd play it for hours. And one of the most pitiful things was sometimes people would forget what team they were on. I don't know how that could happen, but it happened with frequency. And what do you do in that situation? You don't know what's going on, right? You're running away from everybody because you don't know who's on your side. You're trying to tag everybody, even your own teammates, you don't even know. It's chaos. And what if that happened to everybody playing that game? Imagine the magnitude of that chaos. It's election season. We're at the midterms. And everybody's going out trying to tag everybody to get on their team. And sometimes we don't even know what it is we're campaigning for, what it is we're arguing for. Sometimes we lose sight of what's most important in life, what team we're on. As Christians, this is home base, right? The church is home base. This is what team we're on. When we go out, don't be tagged by a Republican or a Democrat. You're a Christian. Yes, you have to vote. Yes, you have to participate in civic life. You have a responsibility to do that. But you are a Christian. Don't lose your identity. Don't forget who you are. It's pitiful. In the epistle reading to the Ephesians, we have such a beautiful message from St. Paul. He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." This is the heavenly place. We're sitting together in Christ Jesus. Those who have been released from the bonds of transgression. Those who have been raised to newness of life. But we have a mission. St. Paul says that you are saved by grace through faith. And it's not a working of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Don't boast about it. For he says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What are the good works that we've been prepared for? Did God give us this free gift for nothing? Are we not charged with the responsibility to share it? Did he not lay his hands on us and heal us, tagging us, getting us on his team so that we could go out and do that? The good works are to go out and to touch people and to bring them here so that they can touch Christ. Brothers and sisters, Christ reveals himself as God to us through our restoration in him. And as God, he commissions us to continue his work, which is the overcoming of this fallen world, the overcoming of demons, the overcoming of sickness, the overcoming of death, and most importantly, the overcoming of sin. And the men and women he has created in his image and likeness. Let us remember whose team we're on, what our task is, where our home base is, and where we need to bring people, to whom we need to bring people. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory.